Access all areas with Joanna Shimonides and Stephen Lang on FUBAR Radio.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Access All Areas with myself, Joanna Shimonides, and
me, Stephen Lang. How are you, Joanna?
You got me there, didn't you?
Yeah. I was giving you the point there. You had to start. How are you doing?
Yeah, I am good. I am so bored and it's raining outside. It's been so good, the weather, and typical, the day that I have to stay outside my window for a little bit, it's raining. But apart from that, I'm all good. How are you?
Yeah, good. It was just thundering here. So if it carries on, you might hear some odd noises, and that's not me, I promise. It's the thunder.
My dad's doing work at the house in the garden, and you can hear the chainsaw and all that crap. So if anything hear the noises, that's definitely not me either.
Is he cutting up a body or trying to bury someone under the patio?
Yeah, you could say that. No, basically we're doing like a little outside bar, because we're Greek, we like our barbecues. So we're doing like a little bar by the barbecue bit. So he's doing that, and literally was like, I've got to do radio. I was like, be quiet. And he went, you won't be able to hear me. And I went, it's for an hour. You can stop.
I say you can just get dinner on the go, right? Can't you? That'll work.
I highly doubt he's doing a barbecue now. My nan keeps asking me again. She went to me, what do you want for dinner? And I went, oh, I don't know. I literally, the thought of eating dinner right now is just, I don't know what, my appetite is all over the place. Do you find that in lockdown, your appetite's a bit all over the place?
Well, I've gained 8 pounds, so yes. As you can see in these chubby cheeks, it is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Now, I've put on a stone. Since Love Island, I've put on a stone.
Have you?
Yeah, I've put on a stone, which is fab, because I wanted to put on weight, and I've actually weighed myself, and I've put on a stone, and I was like, this is brilliant!
Oh, that's weird. Definitely if you want, because you said before you wanted to feel a bit more womanly, right?
Yes, and just be a little bit bigger, a bit more of a shape. And yeah, I've put on a stone, which is fab, because in Love Island, I was very, very slim. And people won't think I'm slim now, but I think I can see a difference in my body now. But
well, you definitely are still slim, but if you feel more confident, then that's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, cheeky 8 stone now, I'm 8 stone.
if I was 8 stone, I'd barely be here. There would be nothing, there'd just be a little stick on the seat. But before we came on air, Joanna, you revealed something really exciting, which I didn't realise. You have been nominated for a BAFTA.
Yeah, well, not me in particular, but my scene.
No, but the scene, yeah.
So Love Island 2019 has been nominated for a BAFTA. I think it's for the most tense moment on TV or something, and it's actually up against Game of Thrones and stuff, so this is huge. And it was the recoupling scene with me, Michael and Amber, and I just think I'm just like in shock. What do you do? And the fact of the matter is, the 1 year that, you know, in my whole life that I'll ever, ever be shown in a BAFTA nominee video, there is no BAFTA red carpet. I'm fuming.
Yeah, because that would be a very good opportunity to get dressed up and, meet some really exciting people.
I am fuming, Stephen. I can't even tell you. Like, deep down within, I'm like, but someone stabbed my poor red heart and it's just like crumbling right before my very eyes.
Maybe if you win, though, you'll get the opportunity to go next year or something.
Maybe. I hope so. I might have to like just message the producers of Love Island. Just be like, hey, do you want to just like throw my name in for next year? But I hope it does win. But we're up against Game of Thrones and stuff.
Yeah, I did see it on Fleabag, which is massive. And
yeah, and there has been some intense moments on Game of Thrones. I mean, I was off the edge of my seat. Is that what they're saying?
Sitting on the end. Yeah.
On the edge of it, yeah, throughout the whole of Game of Thrones. So, I mean, if we do win, that'll be absolutely fantastic. But if we don't, I mean, Game of Thrones and everything. I've not watched Fleabag, so I don't know.
It's pretty big. But then so is Love Island. What do you think would be in your acceptance speech? Who would you thank? Other than me, of course.
I'd probably thank... I just can't tell what you just said. Probably thank, just like, I don't know, my managers have been literally my rock, literally, that when I come out the villa, I was like, oh my God, I need you all right now, I don't know what the hell to do, but yeah, maybe it'll be more Michael that does the thanks, the sort of the acceptance thanks speech.
Can't let the men take all the glory in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, my tense face in my video, the video of my face is very tense in it. I was itching up. And they caught on the main one on the website, they caught my nose twitching it. And I was like, God, it just haunts me.
It's such a, I mean, no one's ever noticed, Jana, other than you. So
you'll be surprised. When I was in the villa, everyone was tweeting, saying like, what is wrong with that girl's nose and stuff like that. And I'm like, just leave me alone. I just got a twitch. I can't help it. I think it's a bit like hay fever related and stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
Or not. But yeah, Yeah, but I mean, it's a big thing. So hopefully we do win. I mean, that was, I think our year was probably up there with the most tense. Like, it was intense. And yeah. I could say, I think as well, Georgia's recoupling scene, you know, Georgia's still back in the year before me. That was another tense moment. So Love Island's, you know, up there with the most tense moments on TV for sure.
Well, it's definitely next year. This is going to be, obviously, there's no Love Island this summer, as we already know. Probably would have started already, I guess. But now they're talking about next year, aren't they? And saying it's going to be, there's going to be no winter series and that they're going to be just focusing on a massive summer series. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I actually think that's so much better. I think, you know, sometimes you don't want to rush stuff. I think it will be like, it will just have the best build-up. And also, I do feel like the Winter Love Islanders do need their time to shine a little bit and have their time in the moment, because the minute a new Love Island comes out, it's so easy just to get sort of like swept off the scene, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be really good for them to actually like embrace it, especially coming out of lockdown. They've not experienced like the mad events that we've had going on, experienced like just the work rate. So I'm actually excited for them to experience that, because I don't think it's, when you go on Love Island, sometimes, you know, when you come off, like, oh, what's life going to be like? And bless them, they've not really had the opportunity to experience much of it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it'll be definitely good for the show. It means that you are the last summer series, so, like, you know, that's always a good thing. You can stay in the headlines a bit longer. I saw actually you got papped this week.
Yes, I know. I literally was like, going to get my thing, and then I ordered, and I was like, what on earth? But I think because that Power of Health is sort of known for, you know, celebrities, footballers and stuff all going there to get food. So I think maybe because they've just recently opened up, people obviously waiting to see who's there. There's me, but my hair's everywhere, like my hair's just everywhere. And I'm just looking like, I'm looking a little bit rough, but do you know what? It's fine. The article name was about my abs, so I mean, thank you whoever wrote that.
That's what you want to hear. Well, so the exercise is going well.
Yeah, so I've literally just been keeping that up, and obviously I might see my body changing now, which is really good. It takes a while to see it, but it's happening. Have you gone on any runs or anything?
No. All I do, Joanna, is play the PlayStation. That's all I do. I've become a teenager.
Yeah, but I enjoy playing PlayStation, so I think we need to like have a little match against each other when lockdown's over.
I'd be well up for that. I do need to buy another controller though, because I've only got one at the moment. But I mean, like, I think I've said this every week, but I have lost all my motivation. I'm actually taking a long weekend this weekend. I'm taking Friday and Monday off work. Cute. And I'm going to go and see my family. I'm sure that they'll be very quick to tell me how much weight I've put on and how dreadful I look.
Do you know what it is? You might think that me looking in and looking at you on the screen and stuff, you don't look like you've put on weight, but maybe because you analyse yourself too much, mate.
You can just feel it. My body feels different. Like, and you know, the scales are telling me. So, you know, it's my own fault. I mean, I'm not, well, as you can see right now, I'm enjoying a little martini. Stressful day at work. But like, yeah, I mean, it's my fault. I'm eating too much. I know exactly, when I lost weight, I knew exactly what I was doing. When I gain weight, I know exactly what I'm doing. Like, it's all on me. I've just got to take control if I want to.
But when you're out of lockdown, when you're up and about walking around busy and like literally like just so busy in work, you'll naturally lose it. Right now, just embrace it. Like I mean, I've had, McDonald's has been open for what, 2 weeks now? I've had six McDonald's sessions. These are sessions. These aren't just a feast. These are sessions.
Joanna. Joanna. I mean, it's very impressive. I mean, I'm a vegetarian, so I can't get too excited about McDonald's. I do like the chips, but
it's a vegan burger.
Oh, at KFC.
No, I think McDonald's has got one now.
Have they?
I think so. Or veggie something.
Oh, they've got a veggie burger, but it's not very good. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I mean, I'm not that bothered too much, but
no. Yeah. But you'll be all right. You'll go McDonald's soon. We'll have a veggie burger. But KFC, have you tried the veggie burger at KFC?
I've had the vegan burger at KFC. Yeah, it's very good. It is very good. Little corn number, beautiful.
Stunning. So obviously another bit of Love Island news: Rebecca Gormley and Chris Biggs. Was it Biggs? That's how you say his last name. I'm really bad with last names. Chris Biggs. They are on the rocks. However, I've seen in Rebecca's Instagram stories and Chris's today that they are together, and they look like they're sharing a cute moment in the countryside by the looks of it.
Do you think that it's all a big setup? That's what I always wonder with that, because it's quite a good way for them to get attention, isn't it? We've broken up, source story, we've broken up, some source says, and then, oh, we're pictured together. No, that was all made up. So everyone's suddenly interested again. See what's happening there? See what's happening?
I see where we're going with this, Stephen. I see where we're going with this. But do you know what it is? I just don't know. You know when someone's like, do you think it's fake? Do you think, I don't know. I don't know what the hell is real fake anymore. I feel like I'm so out the loop.
Yeah, babes, I hear you. It's, but I mean, good for them, I think. Like, if they haven't broken up, then prove us wrong, I guess.
Yeah, because I've spoken... prove it's wrong. Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to Rebecca a few times, and like, and they seem like they're on good terms and stuff. And I remember when I saw her together with him the other day, I messaged her and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited, you two together. And she's like, yay, like, it's really cute, I'm happy. So maybe they're all right, but then I don't know how it gets to the press so quickly unless someone close to them has leaked it or said something, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely possible. I mean, that's just what some people do, isn't it? They leak stories and... totally out of the blue. Like, where does that come from, I wonder?
Where does that stem from?
Funny enough, we haven't actually mentioned who we've got on the show today, Joanna.
Go ahead, Stephen.
We've got, first up, this is definitely a first for me. And as far as I'm aware, first for Access All Areas. We're speaking to a fox.
We are. I mean, does he speak our language? Who knows?
We'll definitely soon find speaks out. Our language. We are speaking to Basil Brush. Thanks, producer Georgia. First up, and then we have, after that, we've got a friend of yours, actually, haven't we?
Sorry. Yes, we have. Do you want to name my friend, Stephen?
It's Strictly's Giovanni Panice. Oh my God. What is wrong with me? Giovanni Panice. Is that this one martini I've had? Giovanni Panice from Strictly.
Yes, it'll be exciting to catch up with him. Obviously, I've only ever spoken to him through DMs. You know, I really was excited to get him on the show. So it'll be exciting to speak to him and see what he's like as well.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be great to find out what's going on with Strictly and everything else in his life.
Absolutely.
And then finally, we have former TOWIE star Vaz J Morgan, who's actually been very outspoken on his experience on TOWIE and... Well, he's basically been the only, as far as I'm aware, the only black person that's ever been in the cast of TOWIE. And he has had some things to say about his experience.
Definitely, I'll be interested to know exactly what he's been through as well. Because I've seen a few things on his Instagram and in the press. But I think it'd be nice talking to him face to face and just sort of getting his view on it, sort of face to face.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Black Lives Matter thing's definitely been carrying on quite a pace, isn't it? Everyone's still making big news, and people, I think it's really forefront in people's minds now, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. And I think through the news as well, through press and stuff like that, we've seen that Netflix have taken down a few series and stuff that I think sort of like going, well...
Like Little Britain and things, where they've done blackface and things like that, which now is just not... Except, well, it wasn't really acceptable then, but it happened.
Sometimes I do view stuff like that and I think, how the hell did that, like, people let that slide?
Get made, yeah.
And, you know, even like, Catherine Tate, there was an episode in Catherine Tate, she was mimicking, like, people of different ethnicities and stuff. And I just thought, I looked at her and thought, what on earth is, how the hell has that been let slide?
I mean, but the... There's a lot of talk about how it's like a different time and stuff, isn't there? But I do think that there was certainly never a time in my life when I thought that doing blackface was acceptable. Do you know what I mean? So why would other people think that you could put that on TV or stuff like that? It's I don't know. It's odd. But, you know, at the same time, it is, you know, it's good that the channels and places like iPlayer and Netflix are at least paying attention to what people are feeling and thinking about it, because, well, I just don't think there's ever been this kind of focus on it before. So it's kind of good now that people are at least talking and thinking about it.
I do think that it's the influence of social media as well. I mean, when would we ever be able to put out such a strong message on social media back in the day? Now that we can all show opinions, aside from showing our opinions like one-to-one with someone, we can now spread our opinions through our platforms. And I think that is why the message has been so strong this time round.
Yeah,
and hopefully it will be a massive, massive change. I mean, there's laws now being put down. There was one law in America that you can't sort of like walk in a house without a warrant.
But it's difficult in America because it's all done state by state. But yeah, that was, I think, was her name Breonna Taylor?
Yeah.
And she basically got shot in her sleep by the police, like, and they'd got the wrong person, they'd gone into the wrong house, and she got shot and killed by the police. Like, I mean, it's just absolutely shocking. Racism is shocking in what, for most of us, whatever form it takes and wherever we are. But in America, the prevalence of guns, the amount of people that have guns, and all the police force having guns, just make it a different ballgame, I think.
It is. I don't know how that's even possible, that you could just go in a shop and just purchase the gun. Like, it's, I don't understand that. But then obviously the other side, the flip side of it, we've got now sort of protesters and rioters, you know, going now to fight against the Black Lives Matter movement.
Oh, the right wing. So I actually had an experience of that this weekend. I was in...
Really?
Yes, I was in Green Park in central London with some friends. And... there was quite a lot of people just picnicking and drinking and stuff, because it's all you can do now is go to the park for the minute. And there was a huge group of right-wing kind of white supremacist guys who kind of came through the park. And you could sense that there was a sudden, like, everyone just got like a real, like...
Yeah.
They didn't, no one, as far as I could see, nothing happened. But there's just a big crowd of angry, drunk guys who want to cause trouble. You know, it's quite a threatening thing to experience. And... that was not pleasant. And I actually saw some footage of a park just next door where they did actually just basically just go and attack a group of picnickers from nowhere. They just basically, it's just awful, awful.
One of them spat on a girl, and you just think, like, what on earth are you doing? And I did a tweet and I said, you just stop, just go home and have your dinner. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, people are peacefully protesting now. So this is a peaceful protest, and there's been videos of it and stuff, and it is peaceful until, you know, there is going to be the odd person that is going to kick off and do stuff
that's human nature.
No one's the same. But I just think, seriously now, like, this is just ridiculous. But hopefully they've all gone home, had their dinners, and they just stay
calm down. Yeah, just stay home. Yeah. I believe we have our first guest and the first animal we've ever had on Accessible Areas, Basil Brush.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Ready to speak to us.
Look at this. Ta-da. Hello, everybody.
Basil Brush is... This is the first time we've ever had an animal on the show. So this is incredibly exciting for us.
I promise I've been through quarantine and I won't bite.
That is, thank God for that.
Thank you for that.
How are you, Basil?
I've had a very busy day, actually. It's splendid. The sun's been shining. It's been raining. I've had to brush me brush up with all the water that's been on it. And I've been filming a little something for Glastonbury. Because they're going to have a virtual Glastonbury this weekend. And I've just done a little bit of filming for that as well.
Okay.
Dodging the showers and doing a bit of filming.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're keeping busy in quarantine. What else have you been doing?
We're doing a lot of charity work, actually.
Okay.
Lovely.
You've been looking after Marie Curie. I've been hosting their quizzes.
And,
Between myself and some other celebrities, we've raised nearly £100,000.
That's amazing.
I've been sending messages to kids in hospitals and helping Momentum Charity. And also there's a thing called the Tunbridge Wells Flyers, which are a bunch of kids that do an awful lot of hockey. But they've got, they've got learning difficulties and physical disabilities, and I'm sort of their mascot now. So I meet them when they have their training sessions on a Sunday morning.
Sounds lovely.
So actually, I've been quite a busy fox, actually. I've not been out working, but I've given everybody my time if they've asked for it.
Well, that is what more can you do than that? Have you been struggling at home though, Basil?
As you can see, self isolation for me. I'm here on my little lonesome, just me, nobody else. Two meters.
You poor thing.
Dating anyone? You're not online dating or anything?
Oh no, I mean, I did set up one when I was at Edinburgh last year. We talk about online dating. There is a special dating app for people like myself called Furry Friends.
No.
I've heard of that. That's been
set up. And when I was at Scotland last year, I actually set up another dating app called the Highland Fling. up in Scotland.
Oh, I bet you did.
That was quite a good one for me when I was in Edinburgh. But no, I can't tie myself to one girl because I can't do knots. So, no.
The hands aren't too useful then, Basil. You know.
No, I'm a single fox and I'll probably stay that way.
I think that's probably for the best.
Yeah, yes.
Leave them wanting more. Leave them wanting more, Joanna.
Love that. So, with people who don't know you, which I'm sure they do, but if they don't know you, what are you most famous for?
Boom, boom!
Oh, that's boom, boom.
telling terrible jokes that are often jokes that you'll all say, I've heard that joke before. But you see, recycling is the buzzword. I'm saving the planet. So
you're
green. Tell terrible jokes. And I, for those that don't know, and I'm sure there won't be many, I've been around since 1963, so I've aged very well.
How old are you?
You have aged very well.
What, in fox years? It's very
absolutely
cheeky.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's cheeky to ask somebody what their age is, so, you know, how much do you weigh?
Funny enough, I said earlier, it's like 8 stone, or put on a stone, Basil, put on a stone.
Now, I tell you, in fox years, I have actually got a free bus pass and I've still got my free television licence and I'm planning on keeping it as well.
Okay, well, that's good. So that puts you above 60.
And I've got my own teeth in a jar by the bed, so I'm not doing too badly.
Definitely above 60, then.
Oh, stunning.
I was wondering, what did you make... You've got some opinions on you, Basil. What did you...
No, I haven't. I haven't got any opinions.
I've heard some opinions from you before. What have you made of all of this at the moment with the free school meals for kids?
Oh, free school meals! Well, I think everybody should have free food. I get free food from the bins, so I just go and have a rummage through the bins. You know, it's perfectly all right. And when I'm working at the Theatre Royal Windsor in pantomime, I go through the Queen's bins, and hers are terribly posh.
Oh, I bet. Did you find anything good?
Yeah, all you have to do, you know, is take a look at where the Ocado vans go and go and round through the bins later on in the day. So, yeah, I have a good time. I leave the politics all up to the grown-ups and I don't get involved.
Okay, fair enough. But I guess you're not a fan of fox hunting, though.
Oh, well, I've been chased by men in red coats many times, but that's when I didn't pay me bill at Butlin's.
That's brilliant.
Boom, boom.
So good obviously work. You've been on a lot of shows and you've met a lot of famous people. Who would you say is the most famous person that you've met?
Probably the Queen.
Really?
The Queen and Lady Di. I think they're, people always ask me about this, but I think it is the Queen and Lady Di because when Wills and Harry were, I think they were somewhere between 4 and 7 years old, I went to Kensington Palace and I was with Mr. Billy at the time, and we did a special birthday performance for them, and Lady Di made me a nice cup of tea, which was rather nice.
Oh, that is very nice of her.
And the whole family came in for a private sort of show of the Basil Brush Show, which I thought was rather splendid. So I think that she and the Queen are the most famous people that I've ever met. But, you know, fame is one of those fleeting things. Actually, what I just notice about people, they're just great people and I just have a good time. I don't even notice whether they're famous or not. I just go, I hope they're nice people, and most of them are.
Well, I would say that they're definitely two of the most famous people on the planet ever. So you've done pretty well there, to be honest.
And had a cup of tea made for me by Lady Di.
That's very impressive. Is there anyone left that you'd like to meet?
Oh, who would I like to meet? Kylie Minogue.
Oh, yes. Well, that's understandable. Well,
we're the same size. We could share costumes.
You could wear her heels.
Yes, size 2.5. We are. I mean, I missed her at Glastonbury last year. I was being interviewed by Zoe Ball, and she did an online interview with Kylie just before, and I was hoping that we were going to be together. But the closest I got to Kylie was at the back of the pyramid stage. But she was marvellous. It's one of my favourite.
So you got to hang out at the back of the pyramid stage?
Oh, yes. I'm often there with the BBC tent at the back of the pyramid stage. Oh, I'm a trendy fox, you know.
Do you want to take me and Stephen with you next time?
Yeah, we'll come
and invite us?
I can't tell you, Glastonbury is the place to be. I mean, I've missed out on all my festivals this year. I normally do several festivals in the year and camp, and I get my big 6-man tent for just myself. So I've got to say, I'm missing all of that this year.
Well, I can understand, as we all are. Can you tell us a bit about the smiling sessions?
Ah, now, this is brilliant. This is right up my street. You see, I've always thought of myself as being someone to bring a smile on everybody's faces. You know, awful serious things go on in the world. My job is to bring a smile to everybody's faces. So they approached me and said, could I sing? And I said, well, my voice has been known to make grown men cry, stop it, we can't take it any longer. But when they said what this was for, was to do some singing for some care homes and some old people's homes, I thought it was a jolly splendid idea. because music is so evocative. Mm-hmm. And it's the sort of thing that some of these old people, they may not know how to turn the kettle on or what they did 10 minutes ago, but by Jove, they know everything in the past, right? They remember a long way back. So some of the songs that we're singing are quite old songs, and I'm hoping that they will join in, it'll bring a smile to their face, and just for a moment, they just might remember what it was like to be young again. So I'm singing a couple of Flanders and Swan songs, Mad, Mad, Glorious, Mad, and... Bring Me Sunshine, the Morecambe and Wise song.
Yeah.
And I hope, and they've asked me to do a few more, actually. And I think it's a jolly splendid idea. They've been sponsored by the Arts Council, and they used to go into these care homes and the old people's homes. But of course, now they're not able to. And what they decided to do is raise money to buy iPads and streaming devices for these homes so that people like myself could sing these songs and they can stream them live. And I think it's a brilliant idea.
I think that definitely sounds like a great idea. And I think it's something that people need at the moment is cheering up. And you're helping people do that.
Absolutely. So me and Stephen need cheering up. Do you mind singing a couple of lines, your favourite song?
Okay, well, I'll sing you a couple of lines of the Bring Me Sunshine, because I love this, because it's the Morecambe and Wise song. So it's Bring Me Sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy we can give to each brand new bread tomorrow. How's that?
That is very good. Well done, Basil.
That is excellent. As Morecambe and Wise say, all the right notes and mostly in the right order.
Well, that sounded pretty good to me.
That's really good.
We don't have too much longer with you, Basil, but I am wondering how you've managed to avoid coronavirus so far. Are foxes at risk?
Well, you see, I've always been very good at all this quarantining and thing because I get it whenever I travel. So I'm used to all of that and this self-isolation. I think I've done a jolly good, splendid job of it. And when you've got a hooter as big as mine, it's easy to cover it up with a sock.
So you don't need any special masks.
And of course, I avoid all the places that you humans go to and just rummage through your bins late at night. So I think I've done all right.
Fair. I think that's totally fair. And what are you going to be doing the rest of your time in lockdown if it goes on much longer?
Well, I mean, I've got a couple of shows. I'm doing a drive-in show in a couple of weeks' time in a car park. I'm going to be entertaining the cars of a car park with
Great.
The drive-in club.
They always need entertaining.
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit of fun. I'm not sure whether pantomime is going to kick off this year. We're waiting to hear about that. Otherwise, I'm having splendid time helping the charities and creating this online content and having a bit of a laugh talking to people like yourself as well.
Oh, it's been amazing.
We really appreciate it, Basil. And thank you so much for coming on. This has been a treat and one I will never forget because it's never happened before. So
thank you very much. Great. Thank you for helping the charity as well. Thank you.
Anytime.
No problem.
Boom, boom.
Bye. Thank you.
I say, who turns off the camera then? Does it me? How do I do that then? Hey, look at that. I can still see you. Hey, it's a good job I don't say anything I shouldn't do, like the politicians.
I like how you threw that one at the end. It's brilliant.
Yeah, good one. Do you need to turn your camera off, Basil?
Not easy for me to do from here.
That was fab. I've literally never spoken to a fox before, so that was definitely the first.
I'm going to suggest you probably never will again.
No.
That is a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Wow. And you know what? It was so nice that he was doing so much for charity. Stephen, do you know what I love about it, Stephen? I think you were a bit confused of what it was going to be like, and you got stuck in. I really enjoyed that.
What else can you do in these circumstances, you know? No, to be fair, I remember Basil Brush growing up, so, you know, he used to be on TV.
But you know what? I do as well. So he's pretty well known. So well to still be in the game. But I think we have our next guest. Giovanni's here.
Giovanni Panice.
Let's bring him in. Bring the herd in.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Well, good as you can be.
I know. How's lockdown been treating you?
It's okay. I mean, you obviously have up and down. You know, some days it's good, some days like get me out of here because I can't do anymore. There's so many exercises you can do. There's so many runs you can do. Jobs, obviously, you can work from home. But then after 13 weeks, 14 weeks, I don't know where we are now. it just get too much. It's like, okay, and now I need to go to a pub or do something.
Are you bored? Is what you're saying?
Absolutely, very much.
Have you been doing much dancing during lockdown, or have you been sort of giving yourself a break from all that?
Well, we did. First of all, we did a thing called the Strictly Specials. So we're filming at the moment this, which is basically like watching back all the best bits of Strictly, and we have to comment on, which is good. And so this keep us a little bit busy, but obviously we're waiting for new things coming up. If we're gonna do the series, if we're gonna do, and how we're gonna do it. So yeah, not dancing much.
So you've not been doing all these exercise classes and things that some people have been putting on?
No, I let everybody else doing. I just watch. You know, I exercise myself. I do exercise myself. I go for a run. You know, I do exercise home. But yeah, no, dancing from home, it feels weird for me. You know, because it's just, we used to dance with somebody else. And when you have to dance on your own,
I mean, I do TikTok dances. I mean, doing them on my own is bad enough. Do you know what I mean? So have you not been doing any dances on TikTok or anything?
I try to enjoy TikTok as well, as much, you know, I tried, but yes. Again, I said...
Just not for you.
It's fun. You can watch it. You just when you have to make it. It takes ages, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just takes so long to make it.
It's the pausing and then the playing and then the cutting. It's just, it's a lot. So I know where you're going with that.
You see, I'm Italian. I'm very lazy. So I couldn't do it.
don't play up to the stereotype, Giovanni. No,
well,
no,
it's
no.
Isn't it? It's the truth.
At least you admit it, though.
Yeah, and you.
Well, I mean, I have to say that I've actually been, because Joanna's been working out a lot and getting herself very fit. And I have just done nothing. So, you know, like
What are you doing in lockdown?
Me?
No, you've been working out, he said.
Oh, what about Stephen.
You? No, I mean, I haven't been doing anything. What have you been doing, he's saying, Joanna?
I said, ask both.
I've just been doing like workouts, TikTok, and just like trying to keep myself busy. I'm sick of my own face. I've seen it too much in my mirror. It's just getting a bit too much. I literally dread looking in the mirror. Even I can see myself now on Zoom, and I'm literally like, oh, Jesus Christ, just like get me out of here.
But you're so beautiful, Joanna. There's so much beauty to look at.
There you go. You can't be bored of this face, can you?
Exactly.
You'll be surprised when you see it every day. It's probably why I got dumped. I'm joking.
Well, could be true. So Giovanni, you have been doing bits and bobs then for Strictly.
Yeah.
What has? I mean, I've read quite a bit of some news about, you know, this is going to happen. They're going to cancel Blackpool. They're going to make everyone go into quarantine. All the contestants are going to be single so that they don't have families and blah blah blah. Like, what have you heard, if anything?
Is I heard and I read all of you just said. Well, the thing is, we just read what you guys read. We don't really know anything. And, you know, the press one day saying one thing, the other day saying completely another thing. What we know is that they're really trying hard. The BBC is trying really hard to make it work. That's what we know. And we want this to happen. Because I think everybody waits for Strictly every year, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a moment where it's coming, Christmas is coming up, so everybody wants Strictly. Again, what we know is that they really train really hard. I don't know about the quarantine with your partner. I don't know about the quarantine. I know that there is a chance that the pros could be quarantined altogether for 2 weeks doing the group number.
Right.
Because obviously, you know, we have to film all the group number.
So you'd pre-record all of those?
Usually we do live, or usually we pre-record like during the week. But this time, I think we're going to pre-record all of it, which is going to be like 14 group numbers or something like that. And it makes sense for us to get all together and do all in once. I think that would be fun, you know, all of us all together.
Would you be up for it? Would you be up for that?
Absolutely. I mean, come on, you're with all the 15, 16 pros.
And you can't get on with all of them.
You do. If there's somebody you like, you pretend that you like it.
Yes, I can imagine.
It's an environment, isn't it?
Of course, it's like any workplace, of course.
Yeah, exactly, any workplace. But luckily, the group last year and the year before was, I think, one of my favorite because everybody was spot on, like young generation as well. I'm very good friends with pretty much all of them.
Yeah, you could tell last year was a very good mixture of people, I think. Is there anyone that you would love to work with on the show? Maybe Joanna, for instance?
Well, Joanna, can you dance?
I think I've got a bit of moves in me, yeah.
You're Mediterranean, you've got Greek blood. Of course you can move.
Yeah, Greeks can move a little bit, but I mean, I need a bit of like teaching, so I guess that'll be the help
point.
Of the...
That's the point of this show, isn't it? You just got to make sure that you can dance, and then you have a celebrity, a partner.
I got told by Neil that I'm actually the perfect height for a dancing partner, so I mean, this could work.
Okay, well. What Neil said, you have to believe 50%. I'm joking, How tall are you? Are you tall?
I'm 5'3".
Okay, so it's good eye for him, yeah.
Yeah, a good look, you know, to throw him in the air and stuff. It'll be fat.
He can't lift. He's not the
can he not? Can you?
I'm horrible to him. He's not horrible. I love him. I love him so much.
Oh, no.
It's fine. I think it's fine. And if you can dance and you... Well, the thing with Strictly is not about, you know, if you can dance or if you can... It's more about the commitment you put on the show. Because you're going to work really hard.
Yeah, I would love to. But even Stephen wants to come on as well. Stephen, I've seen a couple moves from Stephen and he's brilliant at dancing.
Stephen, who do you like as a professional dancer? You watch the show.
I'm a big Strictly fan, and I've been a journalist for many years, and I've been lucky enough to interview lots of people that have been involved with the show, and I've been down a couple of times. I would be absolutely terrible. I would be out like second week. I think I might make it past first week on sheer force of personality, but second week it would be heave ho.
Well, to be honest with you, Stephen, first week there's no elimination, so you would be fine.
Oh, that's true. Okay, we'll take it into week three then. I'd make it to halfway through October.
This is your perfect shot to shoot your shot, and you're literally putting yourself down. Just pretend you're a good dancer, all right, and just go in there and do your thing.
Yeah, well, we'll see one day.
What would you like to dance with?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, it would be Katya, because I think she definitely... Well, if I had to choose a woman, because I'd prefer a man. But
be a same-sex couple.
I think it's overdue. It would be Katya, because I think Katya does those routines that really... Ed Balls is forever in everyone's memory. You know, those really... Yeah.
Well, that's Vogue. That's all you're doing now is Vogue.
She was doing that. Was it? Was that?
No, yes. Yeah, that was so. In last year's show, I don't know if you saw Joanna, but Giovanni went out the week that he did a Vogue, which was this, you were really, really good at, but probably not enough people understood what it was, right? Do you think?
Well, that's the problem we had. I mean, you're a Strictly fan. I can tell that you're a Strictly fan.
Yeah.
Joanna obviously doesn't watch it because she just said that Katya was doing Vogue, which is.
No, so Katya, a few weeks ago, we had Katya on and she taught us a routine and we did a Vogue in it. That's what she was...
You see where I'm going with this? I'm a little off.
Yeah, now I understand. But we did Vogue last year. Me and Michelle Visage did, for the first time on Strictly, something completely different than Ballroom Latin. So we did Vogue.
And it was great. You did a really good job.
Yeah, it was actually... There you go. I can see your freedom doing this.
I've done enough drunken Vogues in my life to think I know what I'm doing, you know.
And speaking of partners, who has been your favourite celebrity partner so far?
That's a question I can't really answer, can I?
I mean,
I think everybody's been good to me. I've done 5 amazing seasons on Strictly, and all of them have been great. I mean, I've achieved 3 finals in 5.
Yeah, it's really, really impressive.
Wow.
Very good. But I have to say, I'm very close to Michelle. I'm very, very close to Michelle Visage. Mm-hmm. Very close to Debbie McGee.
Yeah, I'm sorry to fanboy a bit here, but that the Argentine tango that you did with Debbie McGee, I still watch that all the time. It's so good.
I love that. But I think Faye was
the
partner I had as a dance-wise, I think. But even Laura Whitmore was great. Georgia was great. Yeah, I mean...
You've been lucky.
I've been lucky, very lucky. Hopefully it's going to carry on like this.
Yeah, it's not always like that with Strictly.
Oh, please, Stephen, stop.
Stephen, stop with the negativity. negativity, all right?
I'm just saying. you must, I mean, on a more serious note, you obviously, you live here, but you do have family in Italy, don't you? Has that been hard? You obviously, you're not going to be able to see them anytime soon, and how's that been?
Well, I think I'm used to now, because I left home when I was 14 years old, because I went to Bologna, and I went to, you know, I live, my family's in Sicily. Mm-hmm. So I left home to go to Bologna, and when I was, again, 14. So obviously I miss them. I talk to them every day, as a good Italian son. but, you know, I see them once a year, because I also, when I finish Strictly, then I have my own show around the country.
Yeah.
So that one is 4 months of my life. So we do basically Strictly, then we do the live tour, and then we do my own show. So the only week, 2 weeks off I have is Christmas time. And which, wow, if I don't go away, then I can go to Sicily and see them. Otherwise, yeah, they come over and, you know, I took them here and they stay a couple of weeks with me and they go. But I think I'm this kind of person that more than 1 week is enough.
Yeah, I think most, I'm like that, yeah.
You know, I'm like, I love them, but, you know, nothing, you know, I really love my family, but I'm used to live on my own.
That's
the only thing, yeah, because, you know, they're my life, too, honestly. But yeah, I'm used to live on my own.
How is the dating life for you?
Dating life? Amazing. According to the press, I change girls every day. I have one girlfriend every single day. And
I mean, you're lucky. Not
people. You know?
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think that is, Giovanni? What is it about you?
I don't know. I don't think it's about me. It's the thing that the press don't have nothing to talk better than that. It's not me.
Oh my God, the dick's thrown in this chat right now.
What's that? What is it?
Just the dick's being thrown. It's just funny.
You've had a few famous girlfriends. Maybe that's why people are just...
I think I just had girlfriend. I didn't think about they were famous. You know, when you're in love or when you're in a relationship, you don't think about the fact they're famous. You just,
yeah,
you know, you fall in love. You can fall in love with the person who works in Tesco.
Yeah, of course.
Nothing, you know, it just happened, and you can't choose who you love. You just fell in love, you know, and that's it. But right now, I'm single, ready to mingle, as they say.
Okay.
Do you agree with dating apps? Are you on any dating apps, so any girls can find you on there?
No.
So it's basically, you either meet them in person or you follow them on Instagram. That's basically the only ways you're going to be able to.
Instagram is a strong thing. It's a strong platform. But I'm the kind of person that I want to meet the person and see what, you know, if there is connection. Obviously, you have to find the person. You can't
meet the person
at the park. Well, at the moment we say at the park.
That's all there is.
Yeah, that's going to date on the park. Wow, romantic. I like to have a connection with the person, because you can look amazing in the picture and then stupid, and then you're stupid, which is not a good thing.
You're so honest, that Italian honesty is really coming through.
I don't care. Always the truth.
Well, we appreciate that about you, Giovanni. That's something.
Yeah,
you
thank
like.
You.
So I guess, yeah, your tour is not happening then this year, is it? It will be.
It's been moved next year. So
right, okay.
What we're doing is we move everything February, March, April, and May next year. Likely, we had the chance to move everything around. You should come and watch it.
I'm
in London at Majesty Theatre, which is
great.
Steve, now come as your date and we'll go watch.
Yeah.
You can teach finally, me about dancing.
Yeah, finally, yeah, she can see you dance, buddy.
If you want to.
You can take me on stage.
Yeah, and you do the Vogue that Carter teached you.
I'm sweating. This is too much pressure. I can do that.
I think you can do it.
You just need to practice a little bit more. And that's it. Goodbye.
I mean, yeah, maybe one day. I mean, yeah, just, I'm going to have heart palpitations coming now. I'm like, there's going to be me on stage.
Can you imagine if you have to do Strictly and watch and dancing in front of 13 million people?
Do you know what I think is? I think I'd be nervous at first, but then I'll adapt and pretend in my head that I'm a professional dancer. Do you know what I mean? I'll take on that persona.
I think that's good. I think that's the best way to be,
that's
really.
Good attitude, isn't it? Good attitude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Giovanni, you need to speak to the bookers. I think Joanna's the sure bet.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. But she's a little bit too small for me.
Oh, that's a shame.
I'm never too small for anyone, all right? Okay.
Dancing-wise, you would be perfect with Neil.
Yeah. Okay, we can work with this. He'd love life, I think.
Well, Giovanni, I'll leave you two to flirt with one another another time. But if
we're talking about dancing.
I can just sense. I'm just getting a sense. Thank you so much for coming on, Giovanni. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we have our fingers crossed that Strictly will be happening and that you'll be back on our screen soon. But we'll see you on the special whenever that comes out.
Yes.
Hopefully, yes. Soon. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
He was brilliant.
He was so good, and it's so nice to hear what he's been getting up to. We've been very lucky with the old Strictly guests.
We have, and I love the fact they're all so different and they all speak so highly of each other. And I just think it's really nice that you don't want to work in a place where there's so much animosity, but it seems like they all get along, they all really like each other. So hopefully Strictly does, because I actually want to watch it this time around, because now speaking to them, I'm understanding.
You've got more of a sense of it.
And the thrill of it and the excitement, whereas before, because I never really spoke to any of them, so I think it would be quite nice to watch it. And I can come with you, Stephen, to the lives.
You definitely can, babes. We can make that happen.
Absolutely.
I believe we have our final guest of the evening, Mr. Vaz J. Morgan, in the waiting room.
Yes, we do.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm in my car, sorry.
No, that's all right.
How are you?
Oh, now you've disappeared. There you are.
Baz, I will replay that scream in my head for the rest of my life.
How are you, Baz?
So gorgeous, Diana.
Thank you. Oh, thanks so much. I feel like I'm really hot in my room today. I don't know why.
You look nice.
Thundery weather outside, babes. That's what it is. Feeling close. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Vaz, how have you been? What's going on?
I've been good. I've just been very proactive, trying to use social media to, have a voice and have a voice that's worth listening to. So it's been a difficult time for everyone. I think there's been a heightened degree of anxiety amongst everyone before the Black Lives Matter movement. We've been in lockdown for 12 weeks. It hasn't been nice. But I think that we can all take, solace in the fact that we're all in it together, and that's made everyone feel better. We're not alone in any of these issues that have been arising.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And you've been using your voice as a thing of good, you know what I mean? And obviously, these are really challenging times. What have you made of everything that's been going on?
I think it's been very difficult. I think, it's extra traumatic when you're looking at a video of someone that could be you, potentially, someone that could be your brother, your father, or your friend, die, be killed on camera. We all literally watched someone take his last breath on camera, and I think that's something that no one's seen before, but something that needed to happen to shock the entire world into the realities that I've faced my entire life, that many of us have, of racism. And racism isn't also shown in just someone being murdered by a police officer. Racism happens so casually every single day, and what this incident has allowed is for us to have a voice and for people to finally listen to that voice and hear a lot of the problems that go on in our day-to-day lives. And that's the thing of someone saying something as simple as, you're so beautiful for a black girl, something as simple as saying, you don't act very black, do you? Just simple comments that people think and say without thinking of the impact of their work.
A lot of white people don't realize that they do. That leads to, negative thoughts and low self-value for all black people.
Yeah, I think actually the one of the biggest things for me is actually being kind of, it's being spoken about. I mean, the things that I probably do that I don't even realize I'm doing, that I can, is something that's inherent, and we all need to change. We as white people need to change the way that we are.
I think it's not just necessarily about change, because obviously it's there are so many white people who are already aware of the power of their words and how it can affect people. I think what it is what white people need to do now is, I've been, actively trying to encourage, is instead of being silently non-racist, to be actively anti-racist. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes a difference. And those are small steps, when you're walking into the workplace, to look around the room and be hey, why am I the only white guy here? you know. Those are things like when you see someone, like an injustice happening to other people, rather than finding it uncomfortable and ignoring it and going home and thinking, you know, something really bad happened today. I was in a supermarket and I saw the security guard actively following a black guy around when he clearly wasn't stealing. It's to call that shit out when you see it happening, you know, because unfortunately, you know, there's a black person is also afraid of using the black card, you know, and obviously it's not a card, it's not a game that we play, it is our lives. So it's, you know, it's time for white people to stand up for their black friend and be vocal about the injustices that are happening, because I think people are sick of hearing a black person complaining about black problems. And I think that's the problem that we're having in the world, is that everyone just thinks it's a black person complaining.
Do you think the use of sort of social media has helped spread the movement, spread the word, and help, is helping change?
I think it's been hugely, like, useful in the spreading what's happening. Without social media, no one would have known about the death of George Floyd, and I can assure you there's been hundreds of deaths before him. And there's also been deaths that aren't caught on camera, but without social media this never would have happened. There'd have been no protests, there'd have been no, you know, riots. All the things that are helping to secure change would not have happened.
Yeah, I agree.
You've also been quite vocal about your experience on TOWIE as well, haven't you? How has that been for you?
I think, like, what I will say is that I didn't realise that my experience was my experience until recently. And that's because, you know, society has told us, you know, us as black people from birth that we are less than. And that starts from the classroom at school, where you open a textbook and there's no one that looks like us. That starts from going back home and watching Disney films and there not being a prince or a princess that looks like us. It's going into the toy store and there being no black toys, no black Barbies. It's these, like, subconscious messages that have told black kids that you are less than your white peers. Your color has made you different. And I think that's been such installed at a young age that you learn to be conditioned to accept being treated less than. And you don't see it as an injustice. You see it as a normal, or if anything, something you should be grateful for even being allowed in the room. You start to feel like you don't belong in those rooms. So when you are in those rooms, you should be extremely grateful. And with that gratitude, it masks the injustices that are happening. So where I was so happy to be the one black person on TOWIE, and so grateful that I was, like, had won the black glory of being allowed on, like, you know, a national TV phenomenon, you know, which is what it is. I didn't realize that how I was being treated was wrong until the conversations that George Floyd situation has sort of triggered, made me think, oh, well, hold on, actually, I wasn't treated as an equal, and I should have been treated as an equal, and I shouldn't be conditioned to accept and be grateful for being the only black in the room. I should be treated like everyone else. It gets to a point where I'd be up for a show, like, any show, for example, like Celebs Go Dating, or which I did, or, you know, The Jungle, anything like that. And I would meet with casting directors, and then I wouldn't get the show. Then I'd watch it and I'd see, like, a black person from Strictly on it, or a black person from Love Island on it, and I'd think, okay, that's why I didn't get it. So I was programmed to think that my competition was people that looked like me and not people that had the same assets to be up for, or the same talents to be up for the job. I would never see a white person as a threat. So it almost turned me against my own kind. Whereas what I felt like I had to then fight to be the only black in the room, which then made me feel like I should hate other black people in my positions. So it turned into, like, an internalized racism that I was hating my own kind because I just saw them as competition rather than allies, you know?
So do you think that
the industry done that to me?
Yeah, do you think that this will change now? Or do you think that the stepping stones are being taken?
What I do is I hope it will change, because, like everything that's happened in our lives, you know, something trends, it becomes popular, everyone has a voice, but then does it change after the trend stops? I don't know. You know, I'm hoping that once it stops trending on Instagram and Twitter, and once, you know, it's not popular to be black anymore, that there's still a change, that things start happening. And it's not just what we see on screens and in the media, it starts from the top and trickles down, you know. You're not going to see more black people on TV unless you see more black people in executive positions, you know. You're not going to see more black people on radio until you see more people at radio in executive positions. hiring black people. You know, you can't, unfortunately, we can't leave it up to middle-aged white men to dictate and determine our futures. We need, they need to start hiring people that look like us in higher positions.
Yeah, it's that's exactly when people say that it's a systemic issue, right? That's exactly your point. That's, and yeah, it can't, I think it can't happen soon enough. We just have to, hope and work at it, I guess. Have you heard anything from TOWIE? Because I know they got in touch with you, didn't they?
Yeah, we're in conversation.
Okay.
I think they're trying to, they're being very active in trying to make a difference.
Okay. Well, that's a positive move, hopefully.
Yeah.
What else have you been up to during the whole lockdown situation? What's been going on?
During lockdown, I was like really into like really light things. Like I was enjoying baking. I was enjoying like just spending time with my nephews, because I went and quarantined with my sister so I wouldn't be alone.
I saw them in your video and they're so adorable. I was like, oh my god, I just miss being around kids.
Yeah, they're so cute. They're like little mini me's. I'm like morphing them into versions of me.
Those poor boys.
Yeah, exactly. So it was all really light until all this stuff happened, and then I launched my platform, I Am Enough, which is a mental health platform.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, basically, it's a platform to basically tell everyone that they should value, you know, love starts within yourself. You can't love others until you love yourself. And I think not just black people, you know, I said earlier that black people have been conditioned to, you know, self-hate and to self-value, to lower themselves less than white people, but also everyone in general has their own struggles, not just black people, you know, women, you know, trans, LGBTQ, like, everyone has their own struggle. Even a privileged white male has his own struggle.
Yeah.
So I Am Enough was a platform that I built to sort of teach people to love themselves and to value themselves, because social media, unfortunately, does the opposite. You scroll and you think, I should have a six pack when I don't. You think, you know, there's all your influencers. They give you an unattainable level of beauty and success. And I think you naturally compare yourself to what you're seeing, and your brain is constantly swiping onto all these beautiful things, people that make the perfect meal with the perfect six pack and the perfect Range Rover and the perfect house and the perfect boyfriend. So I Am Enough was basically about teaching people that you are enough the way you are. You don't need to be any skinnier, any fatter, any blacker, any whiter, any richer, any poorer. You're perfect the way you are, and you contribute enough to the world by simply just being yourself. That is enough. So it's constant daily reminders that you are beautiful, you are valued, you are important, and that you are enough. And to anyone that's struggling with mental health issues, to remind them to reach out and speak about their problems, and to remind them that people would way rather hear about their issues than their death, and that you are not a burden.
Mm. Yeah.
And is there sort of an Instagram people can sort of go on to get this reminder? Have you got like a I Am Enough Instagram or anything like that?
Yeah, it's just at I Am Enough. It's just that's the handle, and they can go on there. There's daily affirmations that, you know, if you keep telling yourself every day that you are beautiful and that you're enough, you will start to believe it. That's my motto.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that. And then I started a fund to raise money to give mental health treatment to black communities, because right now obviously they're the community that are most in need. So all the money raised through the I Am Enough page will go directly to getting mental health therapy and other resources for black community, because black men are at a significantly higher rate to suicide and mental health issues, and they're at a significantly lower rate to having access to resources to help them. Wow. So,
well, Vaz, it's great to see that you've been putting so much good out in the world, and well done. You should be really proud of yourself for doing that. It's great.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it. Please do come back whenever you want, whenever you've got time.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great to speak to you again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, bless.
Some powerful stuff. We've been very lucky to speak to some people who've been making, you know, a difference. And I think Faz is clearly one of those people.
Definitely. And he seems like he's really pushing for a change, and that's the most amazing thing. And I think you can see in him that he does look a little bit, he looks tired, bless him.
He does look tired,
that he's fighting for this change. And, you know, this is why we need everyone to come together to fight this change and not just him alone. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, hat off to him, he's doing amazing.
Yep, definitely. Well, that was the end of another spectacular show, Joanna.
It was amazing.
Chatting with foxes to Black Lives Matter. I mean, you really, really covered all bases.
I just love it. It's brilliant.
So until next week, goodbye.
Yes, see you next week, guys.
Bye.